Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to episode number 78 with Top Advisor Marketing Podcasts. Today we have Larry Miles, who's the principal at Advice Period. In doing my research on this firm before we had Larry on, they're really truly offering something unique and different, and they're hitting on some of the points that we've talked about a lot in Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. So Larry, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Matt. I appreciate it.
Now, Larry, you believe that many advisory firms offer their clients, employees, and owners less than a great experience. And in what your philosophy is that doesn't need to be the case. How so?
That's right. We think that the theme that we see so many advisors getting wrong is that they're focusing on things that don't matter and ignoring all the things that do. And the good news is that that's all within their control. Firms can focus on things that really matter, and that's what we're hoping our advisors do.
Elaborate. What are they giving people that they don't want?
Well, specifically what we see are three key areas where advisors are missing opportunities, and that's their culture, their people, and their technology. And we think with each, there's an overall sense of accepting mediocrity when what our clients and our employees and our teammates deserve is the best.
Now, Larry, it's hard. It is hard to find good people. How do you recruit? How do you get the right people in the door?
Well, it first starts with culture. Mm-hmm. And with the culture, you either get the culture that you purposely build, or you just get the culture that you get. But every company has a culture. Mm-hmm. And if you make culture a priority, then it becomes all about the people. We have a saying at Advice Period that if culture doesn't fit, nothing else matters. Hmm. And you have to have those high standards.
How do you build a purposeful culture then?
Well, you build the purposeful culture by identifying what really matters to you, your team, and your clients. And you do it very purposely, and you start to identify things that really matter to you. So, for example, We want to be a meritocracy where our teammates and our employees rise and fall based on how much they contribute. Hmm. It's not about their tenure with the company, their credentials, where they went to school. It's all about results. And if you start focusing on a results-oriented culture, then that transfers into what you're doing for clients. Hmm. And you're not going to be satisfied with doing what every other firm is doing for their clients, but you really want to do more.
Something that we found at Top Advisor Marketing, and culture is very, very important to us. So you're really, I 100% believe everything that you're saying, because when we need to hire somebody, we immediately go to our team members and ask them if they know anybody who would like to work in our culture. Because you talk about how the worst thing that you could do is recruit people. Let's talk about that.
That's right. I think that idea, that concept of recruiting is one that most advisory firms get wrong. And it's a huge missed opportunity when in our business, of course, people, that's what we have. I mean, that is our business. And so when I say don't recruit, I mean a couple things. One, you never want to convince someone to come work for you. What you really want to do is attract people who believe what you believe, who would be a fit in your culture, who are inspired by your mission. So you don't want to recruit so much as you want to attract like-minded people.
You say, and I love this, is you want to hire missionaries, not mercenaries. Why don't you explain that?
Yeah, our philosophy there is we want to work with people who believe in our mission, who are attracted to our purpose and the vision for what we see for our industry, for our company, and for our clients. We want folks that are inspired by that mission and not working just for our money. Of course, you have to pay people fairly and do what's right. But ultimately, if someone's just working for your money, if they're a mercenary, then they're going to go work for the next company and the next company when they get offered a few more dollars. Mm-hmm. But if you find people who are inspired by your mission, they're going to make the largest impact and they're going to stay with you for a long time.
Gotcha. I love that. I want everybody who's listening, I want you to make either a physical note on a piece of paper or a mental note that, number one, your company has to have that vision. And number two, or 1A, is you have to have that mission that you can communicate effectively. Companies that really are strong and have a good brand and have good marketing have a very solidified vision, mission, and values. And I think that's what Larry's saying. If you don't have that done, you need to find somebody who can help you with that. Now, technology is the second area. So you said culture or people, technology, and then results, right? Those are the three categories. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay, let's talk about technology, man. Technology is the bane of most advising offices. So help us with your expertise on this, please.
Absolutely. You know, technology is something that we believe is a must-have, not a nice-to-have, not just today, but certainly in the future. Now, openness to new technology and the ability to harness it will really separate the winners from the losers over the next 5 to 10 years in the advisory industry.
It moves so quickly, Larry. How does one keep up? And then how do they implement? Because that's like that, you know, a lot of the programs don't talk to each other well. I know you guys talk a lot about this. So give us a little bit more, please.
Absolutely. So much like culture, with technology, you need to purposely make it an area of focus. It needs to be something that everyone is involved in at the company. You can no longer just rely on, you know, the IT guy to make sure your technology is great. To your point, technology moves so rapidly and changes in such dynamic ways that it has to be a priority for everyone at the business to keep their eyes open for new pieces of technology. It has to be everybody's responsibility for implementation and for adoption. It has to be something that everyone makes important, because nothing's going to change our business more than technology.
I want to add to that, ladies and gentlemen who are listening, it is not cute anymore for you not to know how to use your CRM. It's not kind of like, oh, well, you know, the advisor doesn't email or doesn't know how to use the CRM. We're way past that, everybody. This needs to be something. Technology has got to be fully integrated into your practice, but it also needs to be fully implemented into your life. Where do they find out about the latest technology? Yes, every single solitary person's got their ears out, but do you have any helpful hints, some free ideas, websites, blog rolls, anything that our listeners can tune into to find out what is really coming down the pike?
The good news, bad news answer to that is that you really just need to pay attention to what the biggest companies are doing. If you look at Google, Tesla, Uber, Amazon, those companies and what they're doing, especially around automation, artificial intelligence, machine learning, that's the future of our business. And anyone who doesn't believe that artificial intelligence will be able to automate portions of what advisors do, I think is in for a rude awakening when it happens, because it's going to happen so much more quickly than anyone anticipates. And when one of these large companies decides, you know what, financial services is a significant portion of our GDP, and I'm going to get into that business, it's going to be game over for companies who are not prepared. So I think if you just look at the artificial intelligence that Amazon, Google are doing, that's going to give you a pretty good sense of where the advisory industry is headed. And you need to get ready.
Some people think that AI is a infringement on their, well, confidentiality. I had a lady who I was working with a little while ago who was asking me how Facebook popped up the same ads after she left Facebook than when she was on it. That's the sort of technology, the AI that Larry is talking about here, or at least one example, where if you could put what your client wants right in front of them when they want it, the probability of them purchasing that from you is exponentially higher. But I want to switch gears, because we could spend all day on technology, Larry, and in fact, we might even have you back on that. I wouldn't mind doing just a technology podcast with you, because we just run into so much resistance with financial services professionals all over the country who are just terrified or have absolutely no desire to implement technology. But the next section here, you have a statement that I'm going to read the statement. And this is going to really mess with people's brains. And then I need you to really unpack this, which is you write that AUM, assets under management, is a meaningless statistic. You're going to get a lot of pushback from this from other people there, Larry. Why do you say that?
Well, I appreciate that. AUM measures how good a salesperson you are, not how good an advisor you are. That's my headline. You can have a great advisor who does an amazing job for their clients, helps their clients with investments and planning, and is a great resource for their families, but perhaps isn't the best salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
Conversely, you can have an amazingly successful salesperson who looks great in a suit, who tells great jokes, and who you want to work with, and all of a sudden you give them your money, and their AUM grows. But it's not a measure of how good an advisor you are. It's just a measure of how good a salesperson you are. And so that's why I think AUM is a meaningless statistic when it comes to how good a job that advisor is doing for their client.
Advisors love quantification, though. How do you focus on results at Advice Period?
That's certainly part of the challenge. You're right. We look to quantify things, not just advisors, but in business. You want to quantify, how do I know you're successful? How do I know you're good? How do I, as a client, know that I'm getting the best advice? And so one of the things that we measure is we look at the lives that we impact. So we look at our clients. We look at how many clients we have, how many family members are in those families. We look at our number of employees and how many people are in their families, because our mission at Advice Period is to reinvent wealth management.
Hmm.
And the only way that we're going to help the cause of being able to do that is to impact as many lives as we can. And that's what really motivates us.
When you think about a great client, and we always, again, quantify with, you know, A plus A, blah, blah, blah. How at Advice Period do you help advisors figure out who are their great clients and who they should be focusing on?
We believe that if you don't have great clients, you can't have a great business. So to your point, it's incredibly important to understand what makes a great client and what makes a bad client. One of our primary beliefs is that the best advisors get into our industry because they're passionate about helping people. That, sure, we're not the Red Cross. We're all for-profit businesses. But there's a core motivation at the center of most great advisors where they want to help people. And so when we think of defining a great client, it's first, it's someone who we can help, someone who needs our help, someone who we can help, and someone who appreciates what we do for them. Someone who pays a fair fee for the services that we provide, someone who pays promptly, and someone that we can have an enjoyable relationship with, mm-hmm. based on us helping them. It's not someone who, when I say enjoyable relationship, it's not someone that works with us because we take him golfing, we take him to the Super Bowl. Those sort of gratuitous perks of being a client, to me, just reinforces the idea that clients are paying too much for the services that they're getting if their advisor can afford to take them to all those great things.
There is going to be a massive attrition within our industry. Some statistics I've seen, the average age of a financial advisor is 59 and a half, that for every three advisors that are retiring, there's only one coming up through the pipeline. And what I have seen, Larry, and I don't know if you've seen this too, is people think their businesses are worth way more than they really are. At Advice Period, you go above and beyond and help advisors be able to build value. Can you explain?
Definitely. We think this is one of the biggest missed opportunities and one of the most unfortunate outcomes of the advisory industry. Because again, the best advisors get into the business to help people. They're successful. They impact a lot of lives. And ultimately, they're not building a business with enterprise value. And so there are a couple of things that we suggest advisors do. One, look at your fee schedule. If you're charging an AUM-based fee, if you're charging by the hour, we think there's a better way. We suggest and most all of our advisors charge a fixed fee based on the value that we can add. It's an elastic pricing structure that allows us to really dial in what matters to these clients, how we can add value, and what's a fair fee. That's recurring revenue. It increases by 3% every year. We bill quarterly in advance, and that recurring revenue stream makes your enterprise much more valuable. The second thing that we do is we focus on something proprietary. We've already talked about technology, and like you said, we could talk about that for hours, but either proprietary technology, proprietary integration of technology, or some sort of proprietary process or partnership mm-hmm. where your clients or your advisors can only get that at your business. That dramatically increases the value of your enterprise.
We just interviewed one of our existing podcast clients because we do podcasting for financial advisors all over North America. He has his firm has two trademarked financial planning, one for 401k qualified plans and the other one for his financial planning process. And because of that, if somebody, first off, his sales process, and I'm air quoting sales, his educational process, his discovery process is always the exact same. And when they bring on new advisors, it's the same thing. I love that you talked about proprietary. And make sure that everybody goes that next step. So listeners, if you do have a process that you think is truly unique and different, please take time to trademark it, name it. If you need help with that, there's many companies out there that can help you with that. We, of course, can too, but that would be absolutely fantastic. Now, I'm going to have you put on your Oracle glasses, Larry. So you're going to see into the future, all right? And because of Advice Period's philosophy and really what you want to do from a mission standpoint, what do you see as the future of wealth management?
When we look into the future, we see ever more widespread and faster change fueled by technology. And that's going to be a huge opportunity for advisors who are prepared to innovate and focus on delivering real value. You mentioned the average age of advisors, this huge shift not only from the current generation of advisors, but from the client perspective as well, this massive transition of wealth. So it's going to be a massive opportunity for advisors who are prepared, but what got us here won't get us there. Mm-hmm. We have to shift. We have to do business differently. And if you're prepared for that, you're going to be massively successful. And if you're not, you're probably going to go out of business. I mean, they're going to be winners and losers. And you can't just bury your head in the sand and expect everything is going to be okay. You have to be doing things differently.
In 10 years from now, what do you think is going to happen? Because 10 years ago, like, I never would have thought there'd be an Uber. And I honestly use Uber all the time. 15 years ago, you know, let's date myself a little bit more. 25 years ago, Sears was where I would go to mail order everything. And of course, now it's Amazon. What do you think things are going to look like 10 years from now?
It's going to be more different 10 years from now than we can possibly fathom.
Okay.
Ten years ago, to your point, there were no robo-advisors. Mm-hmm. Now everyone has a, quote, robo-advisor. So 10 years from now, my prediction is that there will be, based on AUM, a meaningless metric, there will be a top 10 wealth manager in the U.S. that is not a household name in finance today. Hmm. It will either be one of these independent robos like a Betterment, or it will be one of these large technology companies like an Apple, an Uber, an Amazon that decides to get into personal finance. I mean, you're seeing this already with the massive growth of Acorns, Robinhood. Yep. I mean, these firms have billions and billions of dollars and billions of dollars in valuation. They're going to have the capital to compete against our financial advisory network. That's going to be our competition. It's not going to be the large wirehouses. It's going to be these new technology-oriented businesses. And that's why I think there's never been a more exciting time to be a financial advisor, because of the change that this is going to provide and the way it's going to help us impact more lives and help our clients achieve their goals in ways that we couldn't possibly dream of today.
So, Larry, we do have a halfway decent amount of listeners who listen to this, and they've been listening to you speak what is the best thing? What would be a good next step for our listeners if they wanted to engage you and find out a little bit more about Advice Period?
Well, Matt, first of all, thank you very much for having me on. You've got a great series here. I've enjoyed listening to it for a long time. I would obviously love to connect with any of your listeners who are interested. The best place to find me is at adviceperiod.com or on LinkedIn, Larry Miles. And you can follow us on Twitter at Advice Period. But I would, of course, love to hear from anyone who's interested in talking and debating whether AUM is meaningless or anything else we talked about.
Yeah. And thank you so much. This has been refreshing, to say the least. It's nice to hear somebody come on who is, one, forward looking, right? Which is, that just doesn't happen very often in our industry. And also hitting on the major pain points with reasonable and executable solutions. So, Larry, I really appreciate your thought leadership today.
My pleasure. Anytime. Thank you very much.
And just so everybody knows, usually we will have our clients back, our guests back. And so Larry and I were talking before we started recording that we're going to have them come back and we're going to dive in a little bit more into technology, just because technology is such a huge component of the future of financial services. And I'd love to have an opportunity to take, 25, 30 minutes and just continue to pick his brain. So for everybody at Advice Period, this is Matt Halloran. If you have not subscribed to the podcast below, click the button below to make sure you subscribe to it. Make sure you check out the show notes to get the adviceperiod.com website and any links that we provide. And if you have not shared our podcast with other financial services professionals, it's super easy to do it. All you have to do is click the share button, post it on your social media, send it out to your friends via email. We would love to be able to get this to even more listeners, because our goal here at Top Advisor Marketing is to provide you with great value, great service, and a great offering. For Top Advisor Marketing and Larry Miles at Advice Period, this is Matt Halloran, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.